Coming up on TMS, Mendoza tucks in for the winter.
9-pound hairball in the stomach. It's bad.
Woman's drunk rant goes up on Twitter.
Ben Affleck had to deal with too much beef.
Too much beef. Tony Bennett is the oldest artist with a number one album.
Good for him. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
On your mark, get set. We're riding on the internet. Cyberspace set free. Hello, virtual reality. Interactive appetite, searching for a website, a window to the world, got to get online. Take a spin, now you're in with the techno set, you're going surfing on the internet.
Thank you, operator.
The Morning Stream, the Morning Stream, the Morning Stream.
I swear by my pretty floral bonnet, I will end you. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is TMS, and it's Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. 2014. That's right, 2014. You heard me.
2014. So you've been holding out on us with that that audio clip you just played.
Yeah, that's like, the whole business.
That is the jewel in the crown, man.
Just listen to some of that.
On your mark.
Get set.
We're riding on the internet.
Oh, gosh.
I want that. Is there a way to make that so that anytime I launch a browser, I get that?
It doesn't even launch right away. It says, hold on, get set, or whatever. You're writing on the internet, and then it launches.
Right.
Searching for a website, clicking on the thing. Such garbage. Anyway, hey, what's up, everybody? It's time for us to be back and do a new show. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. It's Thursday, therapy day, so that's good. Maybe we can learn something from this. Maybe we don't have to just sit here and talk about fart jokes and, you know, boobs. We can actually learn something from today's episode. That's what I hope. That's what I dream.
Right.
I apologize to those home listening right now.
Who can't hear us?
Who can't hear us? Our audio stream is dead for who knows why. So,
here's an audio apology for those of us, for those of you who can't hear me, give you this apology.
Apologize for that, but I've sent a message to the powers that be, and hopefully something will get fixed soon. And you still don't know what we're talking about because this happens with or without you. Great song by you too. All right, Brian, let's dive right in. We got some things to do.
Sure.
It's it's freezing here. It's cold here today.
And it's cooler here. I don't know if it's, I'd call it cold.
Really cold here, like cold. Like, well, let's see. What is the temperature? Hey, Google, what is the temperature in Salt Lake City? Okay.
Are you typing it?
39 degrees.
Don't you have a fancy phone?
I don't. It's over here doing a time-lapse video.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I've got Salt Lake City, Utah, currently 39 degrees Fahrenheit. Or is that Celsius? Hold on. Nope, that's Fahrenheit. 4 degrees Celsius. That'd be really hot, wouldn't it? I don't know why it's so cold. That's only, what, 7 degrees above freezing or something? So what's going on there? I mean,
hey,
hello.
Siri, what's the temperature here?
Boo-doot. Do you do the man or the lady?
It's 39 degrees Fahrenheit
outside. Oh, same there.
Did you hear that? 39 degrees Fahrenheit.
So it's the same as both, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you just are feeling so cozy and warm and protected in your sweet little house there. You just didn't
Scott,
realize.
The audio stream is coming from inside the house.
all right. Somebody says there's snow. Is that ice warm? Somebody says there's snow where they are. Yeah. I mean, what's up, man? Yeah, it's too early in October for this. Come on, man. Just have a slower transition.
In the mountain towns of Colorado, it's snow like, you know, there's 3 months of the year where there isn't snow, and Vail and Eagle and Summit and all that place.
Mm-hmm. Well, like a true morning show, we've just given you the weather. All right.
Right. Let's get traffic.
Oh, traffic. Traffic was hard from my steps to the basement. It was rough today. I don't know what's going on out there. So I got an update on Mendoza. Just a real quick audio tour of how that went yesterday. Here you go. Okay. There you go. Here's some audio.
Hey. Hey. Let's go. Let's go.
Now, all right. I want to make it clear that he is not the rah, one. He's the he's that terrible one. And I admit I went a little Ray Romano on him yesterday.
Somebody, that was the best comment on your Instagram. Apparently Mendoza is not threatened by Ray Romano.
Hey, come out of the water. You know, he's on Parenthood, and that whole show, I just, all I hear is him talking, just going, I was wondering. He just got that thing going.
Hey, you got Asperger's. Hey.
Hey, I wonder why I felt so weird. Anyway, so I don't know what happened there, but he's still here. He's not leaving. The rest of some of the other geese have left, so I don't know if that means he's staying for this for the cold months. I don't know what's happening there, but
I do like your threatening tone too. Let's go.
Come on, let's go. Come on, throw down. If you're gonna chase me, now's your chance, dude. He was on the shore. He could have come up there. I don't know why. Sometimes he's aggressive and sometimes he's not. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand this bird. F that guy. I don't know how to deal with it. All right. I have an update on my face though. Okay. So yesterday I
update on my face,
face update. Beep, 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 beep. I told everybody on the show that, my face was weird, right? I had a bite, spider bite.
You had a spider bite. Woke up with a spider on your face, mm-hmm. whacked it,
killed it,
pulled away. Smushed legs and body and
carapace, all that stuff. I love the word carapace.
Before he left, he took a little piece of you with him.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Do you like the word carapace? I'm a big fan.
Carapace, yeah, that's a great
one.
I
like it a lot. Yeah. I feel like that's a thing you upgrade if you're playing the Zerg. You upgrade your carapace.
Unfortunately, it's a sucky thing when you're killing a bunch of bug creatures in WoW and you're left with gray carapace items.
Oh, right. And you can go sell those to a vendor who clearly would like to give you some gold for those carapi.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly. Carapi. All right, anyway, so here's the deal. So a day has gone by. I did not go seek medical attention from any professionals or anything like that. I just lived with it. I dealt with it. I could feel my heartbeat in it all day long, just like yesterday. It is what it is. And today it is hard. Now, what do you think I should do about that? It's like a hardened thing.
Right.
Stiff and hard.
Well,
right here.
Irony Man has a suggestion.
What's that?
Here, I'm going to put a link in the Skype chat for you to have a look at.
Okay.
This is what you could look like if you don't do something about that.
All righty. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Did he make that?
Yes, he made that. So, audio listeners, it basically is Scott as Two-Face from the Dark Knight film.
Yeah, and it's about right as far as where
Scott
the bite
is. Harvey Dent.
Where's Harvey Dent? Like right where that thing starts with the cheekbone is about center of that image. So he's got that about right.
Is there any discoloration going on with the spider bite, or is it just
a little swollen and pink still? But it's like turning into a hardened knot.
Well, that's your body dealing with the toxins that the spider probably put into your face.
You sound like a hippie lady to me now.
The toxins. Come on, the toxins.
Flush out those toxins.
Drink more water.
I don't know. Do you think I should go? I don't know. Should I?
Does it hurt if you push on it?
Yeah, a little bit. Hold on, I'm pushing. Oh, yeah, it stings.
Well, let me give you a first recommendation, something you definitely don't want to do.
What's that?
Do not look at WebMD.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't do that.
Do not open up WebMD and see.
Also, I recommend not doing Google searches for spider bites gone bad.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
That's a real bad dark hole you'll go down there. Yeah. By the way, I'm a real chunky dude in that photo. What happened? Oh, this is back in the old days. This is before I lost my weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, two things I want to say about that photo. One, I'd be a ridiculous looking Harvey Dent. Just like that is not scary. That's just gross, right?
It's comical almost.
It's comical. Secondly, you can see on my neck where, once again, you can see where the surgery I had back in '99 pulled my skin to the side of my neck, and I've got a yank there. Yeah, if you look at my little thing there, it's like pulling to the left. If I do a double chin.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yep.
I hate it, dude. They didn't tell me that was going to happen. The doctor with the big dish on his head, literally, it was a cartoon doctor that did my face. I've told you that story, right? Maybe I haven't.
Oh, yeah, probably.
He had a band around his head and one of those big silver dishes while he did the procedure. And I went, well, wait a minute. I've only seen this happen with Bugs Bunny and stuff. Like, never a real doctor. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that existed, but apparently that's a real thing. A reflector...
Reflector dish. They're collecting satellite signals from your wounds.
And what are those? What are those called? Does the chat room? What are those called? That's your, you have a homework assignment right now. I want in the next 5 minutes someone to find out what those are called.
Reflector dish doctor headpiece things.
Yeah, yeah. And what are they? And if you can find out what they're called, perhaps there will also be some sort of definition so that we know what they were actually used for. Is it just to reflect light and create brighter light in close up situations? I can tell you this: it wasn't like a thing he looked through. It wasn't like a magnifying device.
Sure, no, no.
It was up on his head. During the pre-examination.
There wasn't a light in the center of it. There was just, it's just reflecting.
Yeah, like a silver concave. Flat. Yeah, kind of concave a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little satellite dish. And he wore it the day I went in for the checkup to just see it. And I thought, huh, that's funny. And then I came in for the surgery, still wearing it. I'm like, whoa.
Maybe he gets NFL ticket on there. Who knows?
NFL films coming right into his brain. Right.
Exactly. 30 for 30. Hold on, I'm watching 30 for 30.
Yeah, hold on a second. So third down with 5 seconds.
I would, I don't know. I would say.
Now you're a pretty chill guy who doesn't jump to conclusions, but if you're telling me I should maybe get it checked out.
I'm thinking maybe give it a, man, I hate to say give it a day and then it's like, oh, Brian, my face fell off.
I don't trust Brian ever again.
Exactly. I don't know.
Here's Harvey Dent. How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow? If it's still bad, tomorrow I go.
There you go. Tomorrow. Okay. Yes.
So basically give it a day.
Yeah, that's basically, I guess, what I'm saying now. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm doing it. All right. I want to share something with you. Okay. We have another fan who emailed in and sent us an audio clip of how it is the proper way to say she's long.
Fantastic.
Okay, so... So, Ashley Robinson, I'm sorry, you have a new pretender to the throne here. This is a French-speaking Canadian who says this is how the proper way of saying it is.
The real French pronunciation is chaise longue with a hard G. Longe does exist in French, but it means loin. Like, sirloin is sur longe. Sur longe.
So, sir, it's
chaise longue.
Long, like long, but with like a
yeah, with a hard G.
Yeah, yeah. So take that, Ashley.
Wow.
I'm calling her out right now. That red
shirt. I'm going to buy a love seat. Screw your chaise. All of a sudden, I'm counting. All of a sudden, I'm the count from Sesame Street. Screw your chaise lounge.
too much money to spend. All right. How about this? Oh wait, okay. I gotta pull this up. Hold on a second. So this morning, I like old time radio, right? Big
sure,
fan.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Not gonna turn down some like.
Oh.
Yes. Right. I mean, so much of what I get.
So
many files. So many files I get are totally from that stuff, and I love that stuff. I'm a huge fan of it. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't work today, but it's so great in retrospect. And I was listening to Red Ryder this morning before the show, and I love it when they screw up and don't fix it. And a lot of times that's because it was live, but sometimes not. Sometimes they just went through it, and probably because the actor's a big debutante. Was that, that's not the right word. Debutante?
No, no.
No, what did I mean?
I don't know.
They're like needy, or they're... What's the word? They're like, don't bother
damsel.
Me. Don't bother me. I'll be in my trailer, kind of.
Oh, diva.
Like a diva, yes. Thank you.
Sure, sure.
So that actor might have been a real dork, and nobody wanted to mess with him and say, hey, you got to do that one over with or over again or something like that. But here is this guy screwing up on Red Ryder this morning. Here you go.
All right, little diva. You hide under the billiard table and keep your ears open.
Table.
The billiard thing.
Just keep going. Just keep going, guys.
Put your head right under the balls and just hang out there for a while.
That's a bad.
Big thanks, by the way, to Thorin. Dice Tomato,
yeah.
The Max, White Top, and Cinderflame, and Irony Man, all who found out the correct name for that thing on the doctor's head is called a head mirror.
Head mirror. Well, that's easy. So it's a mirror, but what is it? Okay, so what does
it do? It is mostly used for examination of the ear, nose, and throat. It comprises a circular concave mirror with a small hole in the middle and is attached to a headband. The mirror is worn over the physician's eye of choice with a concave mirror surface facing outwards and the hole directly over the physician's eye, providing illumination like a ring light.
Oh, wow.
So basically, when they flip that thing down, they can look through it and it just adds a little bit of extra light that doesn't get blocked by the, wouldn't get blocked by a little handheld light, for example.
So he was truly old-timey doctor then.
Right, because now they've got those little magnifier deals with the light in the tip that they can, like, stick in your ear and then...
Yeah, they look like Sam Fisher. getting ready to go all stealth and stop crime. No, right, totally. Exactly. Yeah, this guy was clear. I mean, this guy, when I went to him, was in his 70s. Mm-hmm. And he was renowned. Like some people,
I don't believe in any of that newfangled handheld light crap.
And he was so renowned for being like the best skin doctor you could find. And so I went in there with that knowledge, but I just thought, wow, he is. I mean, are we going to even numb me for this? Is he going to have me bite down on a piece of wood and have three other guys strap me down? Like, how are we going to do this thing?
Right, right.
Well, thanks, Irony Man, for finding the Batman and Robin, or the Batman with Robin comic books. Some old school, like 60s era stuff showing Batman and Robin being chased by who's being referred to as the crime surgeon, who is an evil, who is a nemesis of Batman's, who wears this freaking dish on his head.
Really? The crime surgeon.
Yeah. And he uses that dish to thwart the good, the do-gooders, you know?
Hold on. Let me get, where's the sun? Where's the sun? There it is.
There it is. Hey, watch out, Batman. Even though it's a little dark here in Gotham,
look
all the time.
Look at this. Oh, Batman. Oh, where am I? Oh, can you see me? Oh.
So dumb. Batman has some really dumb old villain.
Stand over there.
Things. Quilt Man, or was it the Quilt?
Yeah.
The Quilt, or whatever. Quilt Maker.
His name was.
Guy's made out of quilt. He just wore a quilt.
There's no worse DC character name than Matter Eater Lad.
Matter Eater Lad. Matter Eater Lad.
Just the fact that
keep saying it sounds better.
You don't even need to ask him what his power is or how old he is. He's Matter Eater Lad. What's your age, your gender, and your power? Oh, never mind. You're Matter Eater Lad. Oh, it's all covered.
Yeah, we got you. You're covered. Don't worry about it. All right, we're gonna call Daryl. He may or may not answer because he's not getting the show this morning. I don't even know.
All right.
We'll find out the hard
way. By the way, we did find out that one of the other users of the broadcast system, the Alpha Geek broadcast system, did not turn off their disconnection button.
Oh, let's call him out. Who was it?
It's Joel.
Joel Duggan, Mr. Perfection himself, tweaking every knob and covering everything.
Maybe all that handsomeness doesn't equate to responsibility when it comes to the Alpha Geek stream, huh?
Ah, you poop like everybody else, do you, Joel? Right, I have to shave that head soon because you're balding like the rest of us. I see how it is, man. I got it. All right, it's time for this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
To boldly go where no one has gone before on the Starship Enterprise. It sounds great, unless you're wearing a red shirt. Voyage to the final frontier in The Red Shirt Diaries, a Star Trek parody web series with new episodes every Monday at theredshirtdiaries.com. Follow Ensign Williams, a low-ranked security officer, as she fights violent sentient plants, overly friendly superior officers, and alien probes that refuse to let her sleep. Only you can save your captain by going to theredshirtdiaries.com.
Yes. Ashley is adorable in that thing. I think she's awesome and really funny. And
she's got good comic timing.
Yeah. She's a hoot. I'll put it that way. She's a real hoot. She seems like the kind of person, she is totally our people. Like, you could hang out with her.
Right. We need to talk. She needs to do a live episode at NerdTacular.
Oh, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Wearing a red shirt and all that. Oh, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk. Daryl, are you there?
By the way, we are now live on the Alpha Geek stream.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
I assume Todd did that.
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, Todd's a good man. Good man, that Todd.
He's a good man, Charlie Todd.
Jod. Daryl, are you there?
I'm here.
Fantastic. Daryl's here, everybody. That means Star Trek time. We're going to do a Stump a Trek Nerd segment where we ask Daryl a hard trivia question in the vein of Star Trek, and he has to answer it regardless of whether he gets the answer right or not. This week, I think he's 2 for 3. This will give him a chance to be 3 for 4, and that's pretty damn good on the week as a whole. Daryl, are you ready for your Star Trek question?
Yes.
All right, good. Well, here it is then. What episode does this clip come from? All right, so I'm playing you a clip ahead of time, and then you'll have 4 possible answers. Here's your clip.
Right, Deanna here. Troi, is that who you're going to visit?
Yes.
Your father would be so pleased.
Pleased?
Well, he was worried that the sexuality program he designed for you wouldn't work.
You misunderstand. Counselor Troi is a therapist.
Good night.
We know it worked, dude. He had that Tasha Yar business. Remember that?
Right. He's fully functional in all methods and procedures.
Yeah.
I'm like, anatomically correct.
It's like C-3PO for an adult age, man. That's what that
was. Well, he's like C-3PO on that hidden, that hard-to-find card.
Oh, right. Right? With that, with the, I know the one.
Yeah, yeah. The Goldenrod edition.
I'm pretty sure I had that, by the way. Sure I had it when I was a kid, yep. I just didn't know any better. I didn't know what I had, and I've sold those cards ages ago.
Wow.
I wish I'd have kept them. All right, Daryl, you need to tell us what that came from. It's Data's mom, basically.
Data, your father and I were worried that you would be gay.
That's basically what they were saying.
It's kind of the equivalent, yes.
Yeah, hello, early 80s or early 90s, late 80s. All right, so your possible answers are A, the quality of life, B, lessons, C, inheritance, or D, bloodlines. So that's the quality of life, lessons, inheritance, or bloodlines. These are your possible answers. Here's your possible next segment.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
The Bag of Daniel continues to provide bounty for us. Mm-hmm. I screwed up yesterday. I thought I was... Because you know how we had two of a lot of these?
Yeah.
I thought we had two of the blue. They're slightly different blue.
Oh, really?
And I ended up eating another one because I thought, oh, well, that one's extra. We're not going to eat that again. And
yeah, that's what I did.
And it was nougat. It was different. So I don't
know. What was your other blue one?
My other blue one was the one we had yesterday, the milk chocolate one.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So I screwed up and thought I had two of that, and I didn't. But what I do have two of still is the yogurt or the yogurt.
Right. Yeah. Well, we could do a Ritter Sport, or we also have the Lindt Amarena Kirsch, which is that thing that looks like it's filled with strawberry ice cream.
Well, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go back to the sports later.
Yep.
Back later with sports. But first, the news.
We'll do sports on the 10s.
That's right. So I'm going to tear this open.
This is a great package, by the way.
It's an odd package, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever seen a candy bar type device in a package like this.
Like it was packaged by Office Depot or something.
Totally. You can use this later to keep your envelopes in. Weird.
Business card holder and chocolate.
I mean, look, chat room. Look how good that looks. Oh, my gosh. Like dessert in a thing. All right. So we're going to open that right up and see what we got. I love this foil. Oh, this foil.
Yeah.
You know you're getting something fancy when you...
This is the kind of foil that the person who sits behind me in the movie theater always brings.
Oh, really? You and your movie theater people, they're like the Burger King of Brian's life.
They really are.
All right. Ooh, I can tell already this is going to be good because it's the color of chocolate I like.
Yes.
Also, I love that. That was a great Paul Newman, Tom Cruise movie, The Color of Chocolate. Do you remember that?
That's great.
So good.
All right, Vince, you've got the talent, kid, you just don't have the humility.
Right.
Now here, have some chocolate.
Wasn't that a sequel to The Hustler?
It was. Eddie Felsen.
Yeah.
And finally got Paul Newman the Oscar he deserved.
Paul Newman! You don't have to tell me his powers because I made it up.
Right.
All right.
Sundance kid.
You know good chocolate when it's already melting the second I take it out?
I know, exactly. I've been letting it sit on the foil because anytime I pick it up, I feel like I'm melting it in my fingers.
Yeah, because you got hot fingers, baby. All right. So let's take a bite of this. There's some kind of goo in the middle.
It smells like cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, gosh. You're killing me.
That's fantastic.
Oh, what is that?
Hmm. Maybe a little grittier than I'd like.
Yeah, there's little pieces of things in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, hmm.
I don't like that part, but...
I don't like that either.
For half a second, I thought I chipped a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling of, like, that thing that's in my mouth is too hard?
Mm-hmm.
Your
ice warm.
Caveman. Caveman instincts kick in and tell me to spit it out now! You know, that's really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Flavor-wise, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This stuff's killing me. I just want to eat it all. Seriously, this is maybe some of the best stuff we've ever gotten. Wow. All right. Pushing that over there now. Right over there. Stay out of my temptation range. Because that was
damn good. That's a good country. I want more of their food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Turkey. Who knew, dude? Was it Turkey? Turkish, right? No, German.
No.
Is this German?
That one comes from Switzerland.
Oh, he's got all kinds of gear up in here.
Lindt chocolate with Amarena cherry filling.
All right. I can't read that foil thing.
Tatranky came from Czech Republic.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
That was good, too.
The Balatons and the Bocis were from Hungary.
These all sound like people you're inviting over to Tony Soprano's house for dinner. Well, don't you, yeah, we got to get ready. The Tratankies are going to be here by 4 o'clock.
Hey, Calm.
You know, I really am liking that show, I got to say. I know it's great and everyone loves it, but my first time through, I'm in season 2, episode 1. I've been binging it at night, and it's great. So good. Mm. You know what else is good?
What's that?
Birthdays of famous Star Trek people.
Oh, those are good. Yeah. I like those.
I like them too.
We should do those daily. Oh, wait, we do.
Oh, what? Oh, shit. I forgot. Daryl, who's having one and why? What's the deal?
Well, why? Yep.
The why is usually about the same.
Oh, okay.
This would be Avery Brooks. He's 66 today.
Oh, is he just as crazy as he was? Cisco. Yeah, he is the Cisco. He was also a man called Hawk, if those who want to go back in time remember. He was a spin-off show that didn't last very long from, who was the guy that would do your, what was the show he was on with the guy that used to be in Vegas, on the show Vegas? What's wrong with me? Oh, Spencer for Hire, that's it.
Right.
So Spencer for Hire was a guy you could hire. He was for hire for life.
Was his name Spencer?
His name was Spencer, and he would do like a private investigation type stuff. And it was real dumb, and it had this guy named Hawk in it, who was basically, I think, kind of a pimp, sort of. And that was Avery Brooks, and then they thought, well, hey, that would be a good show by itself. So they made a show called A Man Called Hawk, and it lasted like 5 minutes. Right. So congratulations to Avery Brooks for his varied career. Although there were moments that I really liked him as Captain Commander Sisko, and there were times I could not stand him in that role.
Yeah, his acting was a little over the top for me, for my preference.
Yeah, I liked it when he seemed kind of relaxed and he wasn't the subject of today's Chico. Story. Yeah, he's just too into it.
Let's go down to the mountain.
Let's play baseball in the mountains.
Jake, we've not played baseball in over 3 months.
Exactly.
We should go play baseball.
Definitely a stage-trained actor, right? Yeah. God, you must enunciate. You must project.
I understand.
Every word must carry pathos.
I understand. Quark has a brand new baseball simulation.
Okay. Well, since that's his birthday, we're happy to hear that. Daryl, let's get back to your question here. You've got four options. That's four chances to get this thing. Well, one chance to get it right using these four options. And they were as follows: the quality of life, lessons, inheritance, or bloodlines.
Oh, poo. I don't know.
Oh, poo.
I don't remember this one. Well, I do, kind of, sort of. But I don't remember the name of the episode, which is kind of important here. And as for your face, I think if you weren't dead yesterday, you're probably fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you know, so I did some checking on spider bites and how long these, like if a brown recluse bites you in the hand, how long you can expect it to start having necrotic flesh.
Yeah, and it you'd was know if that was the case, you'd know.
I probably would, but it took. Oh, I'd know. Definitely know if it was a brown recluse for sure. Because when I came away with those guts, it was definitely not one of those. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a black widow or any of these other like marquee devil spiders, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it was kind of translucent and white. It was kind of it was like a mist spider. Remember the mist?
Yeah, a little glass spider.
Yeah, kind of like that. They like Finnish people. You see the little heartbeat. Anyway. Like a baby fish. But I took that thing away from my face and I went, all right, well, that's not a huge spider and I'm probably going to be fine. But even the ones that are bad spiders that bite you, sometimes that can take up to a week before you start like having darkened fall away flesh. So I don't know, man. I'm going to give it a day. And if by tomorrow it darkens or blackens or starts
changes
to spout.
Changes color. It oozes.
Yeah. Oozes
little
something.
Little spiders start coming out of the middle.
See, that's my worry.
Have you noticed any increased agility or super strength? Or
I can tell when people are around me for some reason, like
sort of sense.
Yeah, like a kind of a spidery sensey thing.
Uh-huh.
Spidery.
Does
sense.
It tingle?
A little bit, but only in my loin. In my loin.
Spider pants are tingling.
All right, Daryl, what are we doing? Oh yeah, I got to answer this. Putting off the inevitable. Okay. That's what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's A or C. What are A and C again?
A and C. A is the quality of life, and C is inheritance.
Inheritance. That almost sounds like one of those dumb Klingon ones.
You are my son, and you are without honor.
You are without honor.
Yeah.
Please stop making that horrible noise.
Quit playing that trombone.
Your acting is killing me.
Oh, I'll say A. Oh, why did I pick A? Well, I just did.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at
silence.
Looking at the, sorry. We're waiting to see if you
you staying with A?
I'm seeing the time-lapse video of me doing the show thus far.
Oh yeah.
It's a very odd experience. It's just me twitching around like an idiot.
So you can see us so far kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to be done with it because it was so long.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I'll put this up on YouTube and other people can not care as much as I do right now. All right. Daryl, sorry.
Okay, I better pick C then.
Okay, pick C. And let's find out from the judges if C is the correct answer.
Are you sure you want C?
No, but no, I'm not sure, but yeah.
All right. See it is.
See once.
Well, I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Congratulations.
Oh, shit. Oh,
you're a winner.
All right, I guess he was right. Inheritance. Data's mother comes aboard the Enterprise. Dr. Juliana Traynor worked with Dr. Noonien Soong. I hate that name. In creating Data and Lore. In this clip, she believes that Data is going to get it on with his homie counselor Troy. Mike with a homie. He led me down a path that I couldn't stop. I had to read it. Sometimes I avoid those stupid words. So anyway, there you go. Daryl's done it. He's made a 3 out of 4 effort. That's pretty dang good at the end of a season. If this week is a season, it's not really, but I'll just say that. And he is also on a couple of shows, one called The Grumpy Cast and one called This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. I have it on good authority. They just completed a new Grumpy Cast. How long do you guys go from record to post with your show?
Well, it used to be 2 weeks, but I thought that was kind of crazy. So I'm going to put it out today sometime.
Wow. You know what I do?
Well, you would sit on an episode for 2 weeks before you'd release it? Is that all editing time?
That's so weird.
No, that's just to...
They didn't even edit the original Star Trek that long.
That's true. Yeah. The entire 3 seasons, in fact. That's such a weird idea to me. People that hold an episode for any amount of time, I have to do it like immediately after we're done. If my mm-hmm. if I have a show and it's not up within the 45 minutes following the recording, I feel like I've done something terribly wrong, and it's probably not healthy because I've created an expectation for myself now that I can never take a break from. But
right
every day, yeah. Boom, out, done, out, out.
Well, all the right. Fresher it is, the something.
Yeah, better taste. Right. Yeah, better taste. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Daryl, why don't you now present us with a game of sorts?
Well, let's see. Oh, there's only one day left of the week, so, well, here you go.
Okay.
Star Trek Spider, Actual Spider.
All right, Star Trek Spider, Actual Spider.
Arctic.
Really, really. Huge penis.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know what that was about. I don't know why Daryl changed his voice for a second. It's fine. Whatever.
Arctic spider.
Arctic spider?
Arctic spider. So Star Trek spider or actual spider? Arctic spider.
Was there undiscovered country thing where they were in like that Siberia planet?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like when Uhura danced on the...
that was from 5. That was a desert though, wasn't it?
Was it a desert?
The one I'm thinking of is where they were banished.
Iman, where Kirk fights with Iman for a little while.
Oh, right, because she was a shapeshifter Wookiee thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go with, I like Star Trek Spider.
All right, because I feel like Arctic Spider is too easy as a real spider.
Sure.
So we'll say Star Trek Spider.
I got you. No, I didn't get you. It's native to Rhynax. On Voyager, on the episode Voyager. Rise.
Voyager. Wow. Well, I'm glad we didn't have to know the freaking episode or movie it was in. We'd have gotten that wrong.
Or series, yeah. Yeah.
That wouldn't have worked well at all. But this does.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Spider Bite 2, The Swellening, coming from James Cameron to a theater near you.
Great. In 3D, I hope?
In 3D.
Okay.
Of course, only in 3D. You won't be able to see it in 2D at all.
All right. 4K? when I get it at home? I get it in 4K, maybe?
Don't push it.
Skip it straight to 8K? All right, whatever.
Don't push it. I got a 3D TV this last week, by the way.
No, did you know?
We were getting some streaking on our TV, and I've been doing some shopping on Consumer Reports and realized that I had a ridiculous... I've never, ever spent any credit card points. Like, you get all these points from your credit cards.
Oh, right. I do that with Costco and forget they're there. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we had all these points. I'm like, oh, well, let's just see what we can do as far as a TV. And it turns out we're able to get this, like... 50-inch 3D, not 4K, but smart TV, Samsung, one of the highest rated ones in Consumer Reports. Like, all right, let's enjoy this for a little while.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nice job.
And the 3D is not bad at all. We watched a little bit of Captain America Winter Soldier on that.
I'm still not convinced that I will buy a 4K TV until they're less than $1,500.
Sure.
I'm not interested in being early adopter this time around on that. So, hey, 4K enthusiasts. F off till your TVs are cheap.
Right.
And I also know why they're expensive at first. It's not because they're super fancy. It's because you are milking us until you can't anymore.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Go away.
4K, I don't know about, but 3D and all that stuff, I think is...
3D, I have zero interest for 3D TV, but it's almost impossible to get a TV that isn't...
Yes. Well, that's the thing, exactly. Yeah. It's like, well, it, you know, again, it didn't cost us any more to get 3D because we didn't pay, technically didn't pay anything for the TV anyway. So it's like, well, let's get 3D. If we have some 3D stuff, we can at least watch it on there. And we've got the little battery operated glasses and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I have a recommendation after speaking of money.
Save it.
Save it and try not to have people get married that you have to pay for and try not to have taxes.
That would definitely help.
Yeah.
Yes.
And try not to have taxes. Yeah. Taxes are trouble.
Taxes either.
Yeah. This year we ended up having to do a weird tax thing at the same time as the wedding thing. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to eat a box of Smarties at BlizzCon the entire time because
that's tight.
That's
going to be your meal. Not going to go hit that food truck?
Nope, probably not. Although that was amazing. And if that guy shows up, he was a fan of the show. If he shows up again, we can bump around the back again and get something quick.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That guy was great. All right. A Piri. A Leskiva.
Squeery.
Is Squeerini a Piri Escaliviva? Gets a 9-pound hairball removed from her stomach.
Oh.
9-pound hairball. A 18-year-old girl
that's
that's
my Slash cover band.
Right. That's really good. That's a good one. The cover band thing, it ebbs and flows for me, but that is a good one. I like the ones that are just less about name references and more about, that guy causes hairballs.
Right.
That's well done. I don't want to overstate it, but that was really good.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, nice job. All right. 18-year-old girl in Beken, Kyrgyzstan. How'd you say this?
Kyrgyzstan?
K-Y, like the lube.
Kyrgyzstan.
It's probably Kyrgyzstan.
Hold on. There's got to be... We copy this, we open a new tab, we type the word pronounce and paste, and...
Hey, I'll do that.
How to pronounce this is... Hold on.
Pronounce this.
Oh, my God. These pronounce videos now have like these, you know, brought to you by Dale Carnegie. It's like, come on.
This is a minute long. Yeah, Google, fix this. All right, I'll play this one and we'll just skip it ahead here. All right.
The following pronunciation is brought to you by...
Okay.
Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, there we go. Let's hear that again.
Kyrgyzstan.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Cheese lounge.
That guy's creeping me out. I don't like him at all. All right. So anyway, this girl, she's 18. She lives in this weird country and went through a hair-raising medical procedure in order to have a 9-pound hairball removed from her stomach. P.S. I know I just said it's a weird country. It's because I don't know anything about it. You can just take that as my ignorance. Keep your emails to yourselves. Aspiri Askleviva was admitted to a hospital recently after she complained her stomach hurt and it was so severe that she was unable to eat anything or even drink water. X-rays revealed the hairy blockage.
Harry Blockage is my One Direction cover band.
Yes! Oh, that's amazing. Harry Blockage. And realized they needed to operate quickly. It was only, quote, it was actually the only alternative. Nothing else would solve the problem, says surgeon Bahadir Belzavab. According to news.com.
He's also the Dark Prince.
You know what the cause of this, right? It's chewing your hair, which my wife, when she was a kid, did. My wife as a kid did this until she had appendicitis, and then she quit doing it because that also will cause an appendicitis.
Or something like that. What's it called? Something like that.
And this didn't end up, this thing wasn't in her stomach. It was in her intestinal stuff. And it's not like it was just right up front there. Or she could have maybe coughed up that hairball. But yeah, that's a weird piece of news. Don't do that. Don't chew your hair, guys. Don't do that.
No.
Recommend against
your, it. Your body is not made to digest hair.
Yeah. Especially your Eastern European bloc, ex-Soviet thick, Union hair.
Thicker, withstand the elements hair.
Yeah.
Not our wussy American, I accidentally spilled some Starbucks on it hair.
Yeah. In Kyrgyzstan, we don't even wear the helmet anymore. We have
my
hard hair
is
now.
Stronger than five Americans.
This is right. You can shoot gun directly into it, point blank range. Our hair does take the bullet. All right. A woman's racist drunken rants on an airplane get live tweeted.
Oh, sweet. All right.
For those needing one more reason to never fly again, Modern Family editor Ryan Case has provided one. Oh, good, because I hate flying. On Monday night, she found herself sitting behind the worst person in the world, that's in quotes. The woman, who apparently is named Nadia, made a series of obnoxious, racist, and very loud comments throughout the flight and was eventually told she needed to chill out. Here is an abridged series of Case's tweets, which chronicle the passenger's infuriating behavior and the ensuing consequences. Now I'm going to share a couple of these with you.
So this is an audio. This is like live tweeted. Mm-hmm. So tweets, gotcha. Okay.
I wish it was audio, but it's not. I'll do it in the wrong voice. It even got a photo of the lady. Sitting behind the worst person in the world, says Ryan Case. And Ryan Case, by the way, is a female producer on that show. Or editor, I should say.
What's that? Say again?
The Ryan Case is a lady. I just want to clear that up.
Yeah.
Second tweet. She was watching Hawaii 5-0 so loudly in her earphones that her seatmate asked her to turn it down. Worst move he ever made.
Oh, no.
She keeps saying, quote, "I know David Guetta," in a prideful way. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Who's David Guetta? I don't know who that is.
He's a music producer responsible for that Bulletproof. Uh-huh. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose.
Oh.
Fire away, fire away.
That's, okay, that one. All right.
Sia's vocals, but David Guetta's production.
Got it. Next, she says, after saying "my Arab friend" so many times, she slurred, "Is that so racist?" and then kept on saying it. She then said, "I have a very racist view of all Middle East." She's talking to a Middle Eastern man, also mocking his accent.
Oh my God.
I can hear her trying to beg the flight attendant in the back for something. Undoubtedly world peace. I'm kidding. It's vodka.
There's some of that Modern Family writing right there.
A couple in front of her are shouting at her now. She's slurring, "What is first class? I've never been on it." What? This is a quote. "This is what the F happens when you don't fly first class," she shrieks.
Oh my God.
The flight attendant is confronting her about her several complaints. Another incident. She's calling the authorities. She's been asked to stop speaking entirely. Police are meeting the aircraft. A police car just pulled up. Four cops are with her now. But here's the best part.
Wow.
She's not handicapped, but she demanded a wheelchair when she left the plane.
Jeez.
I hate flying. I hate it. The worst people fly. The worst people.
Flying definitely, you know, it's turned into this everyone for themselves kind of, you know.
I hate it.
Dog eat dog kind of thing.
Let's get back to where we can wear a suit and fancy hat and welcome to American Airlines. Please have a seat, kick your feet up, and we'll take good care of you kind of thing.
I try to be the most pleasant, you know, person on an airplane when it comes to, like, people next to me. It's like, oh, you know what? You're in the middle seat. To, you know, make sure I scooch over so it's obvious that I'm giving them the armrest. Mm-hmm. I don't just, you know, it's not just a matter of like, oh, I'm not going to put my arm on there. Mm-hmm. I kind of like ease away a little bit so it's clear that it's like, oh, armrest belongs to the middle person.
Yep. I always take it for the team, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. Always. Mm-hmm. Why can't we all do this? I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make us weak.
Hey, do you mind if I pull the blinds down? I'm going to watch a movie. I always ask, and it's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. It's like,
yeah. And if they say no, say, oh, no problem. It's all good.
Exactly.
It's so easy, dude. Walk through this life, leave it a little better than you found it. That's exactly all we're asking, you raunchy bag. All right. Let's tell you.
By the way, you might have actually skipped another sponsor.
Oh, I know. I'm about to read it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Hey, look, please, man. You never know where I'm going. I'm in a weird place half this time.
Listen, you do you. You just do you.
I have spider venom infecting my eye hole, so who knows? Simply Testable sponsored today's program. Simply Testable provides a one-click full-site automation for HTML validation, CSS validation, and that elusive JavaScript static analysis and broken link checking. Ooh, the JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes, you know, what you need to do with mobile and wherever else you're having to do some admin work. All you sysadmins out there, I know we have a bunch who listen. Improve site quality by testing in minutes what would normally take you hours to do by hand. If you want to email them, you can. They want to be personal with you. John@simplytestable.com will bring you, give you help on the kind of tools you might need, and you can provide direct feedback that way. Get a free 30-day trial, no credit card required. Just visit simplytestable.com and go to /TMS at that website and get 20% off the lifetime of your account. That's simplytestable.com/TMS for 20% off the lifetime of your account.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Oh, it's Celebrity Poop brought to you by
Tortellini Soup.
Kim made it.
Nice. We had taco soup the night before last for neighbor dinner.
Shut up. We did too. Seriously, two nights ago?
2 nights ago. When? What is it? Tuesday night?
We did too.
Neighbors were coming over for neighbor dinner, and we made taco soup.
So did we. That's too
That's
weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Our Menzies really are in sync.
I repeated like a howitzer for a day after that food. The tortellini soup is really, really good. And I'm not usually even a fan, but Kim made this amazing homemade, like, it was awesome. We're really in the let's make food tonight mode because taxes and weddings.
Sure, wedding. Yeah, exactly.
Ben Affleck.
Don't have it for a while.
Ben Affleck. You know him?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
sure,
Ben Affleck.
Sure.
He's famous for various things. One of them
famous
being
famous for not being able to ever go to the Hard Rock Casino ever again and play blackjack.
Isn't that the deal? He got kicked out.
He got kicked out for card counting.
Wasn't that a bad? He went through a bad period. Remember that? Was that true, or is that from a movie? When did this happen?
I don't remember ever Ben Affleck. It was recently. It was like within the last couple of years. And he said something like, you know, what's the point of casino? Or what was his? There was a way he phrased it. It was like, isn't it funny that that being good at something makes the casinos want you to never play it again or something
wow.
like that?
Wow, that was his answer?
That was his answer, yeah.
They're in business to screw you out of money. That's what they
Right, mean. Exactly.
it's the biggest ripoff ever, and it's amazing that we all go at all, to be honest. I like the atmosphere of it. See, this is the thing. Like
not even that long ago, May 2nd, 2014, he got kicked out.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I'm thinking of his weird drug period, but apparently that's not when that happened. Anyway, it's Ben Affleck. He's the new Batman coming up.
Right.
He revealed why he had to hide his beefy Batman physique on the set of Gone Girl, how he had to do it. Ben Affleck has told us how he hid his Batman body while filming the upcoming release for Gone Girl. Man, what a sad state if you have to hide your
I've
got to
hide
guy.
my six-pack abs.
My huge abs and my giant muscles. The star already had already been training for a year for his role as Bruce the Wayne after attempting his portrayal of Gone Girl's Nick Dunn.
I'm looking forward to seeing that movie, by the way. I haven't read the book, but Tina says the book is fantastic.
Yeah, it's David Fincher movie, and I always like Fincher movies, mm-hmm. except it's funny. I love Seven and I hate Seven because Seven is expertly crafted.
You
and
hate
also,
Seven because it's so good.
It made me so
mad.
It
pulled at your heartstrings.
It pulled at my everything strings. I wanted to hunt David Fincher down and... That ending of that movie. I mean, I know what's in the box is now a meme and it's whatever and it'll be around forever. But at the time, first time seeing it, I was so freaking angry.
Well, did David Fincher, I know he directed it. Did he write it also?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think all his stuff is based on, you know, whatever. Well, whatever. You look at the director's your go-to, right? He's your guy that brought it to screen. He's the one that did the masterful work.
Yeah, but you go with what's written. I mean, it's, you know, he didn't put Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box.
No, spoiler. No, but but he did it so well. What I'm saying is a less adept actor could have just made that all seem less important or dumb or, you know what
and
I mean?
Look, people, And look, people, the movie's been out for 20 years. I feel like I can spoil that.
Yeah, it's fine. Pepper Potts in a box.
Andrew Kevin Walker wrote that. He also wrote 8mm, Sleepy Hollow, The Wolfman. Wolfman.
Okay, well, I'd like to... Is it a screenwriter or is it a book or something?
Screenwriter.
Okay.
And I don't think it's based on a book.
8mm is not good. And nope. I would argue because director of that, Brian De Palma, had lost his edge and was no longer good at directing things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point. Had David Fincher made that movie, bet it would have been better. Bet you money. Fincher's
great.
He
also wrote a rejected draft of the X-Men film.
Oh, which one? First one?
The first one, yeah.
Oh, well, who'd they end up going? I don't know who they went with on that. Maybe Singer wrote it? I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. They're making a new one, you know. Brian Singer's on board.
Yes.
So the pattern is... excitement about an X-Men movie, starts to direct it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes out with a bunch of allegations about him touching them when they were boys. Puts the movie out.
That's how the story goes.
Blows over a little bit. Makes nice. A new X-Men movie. Someone makes new allegations. Like, this is going to be the pattern. I'm telling you right now.
Right.
That'll be the pattern.
Tom DeSanto and Brian Singer co-wrote X-Men, and David Hayter did the screenplay.
David Hayter? Well, I'm thinking of Bill Hader.
You're thinking of Bill Hader.
Yeah, and he did not do it.
Or Hayter. Is it pronounced Hayter? It is pronounced
Hayter. I think it's Hayter, isn't it? It's not Hayter, yeah. I don't think.
Boy, did I mention that he and Kristen Wiig ripped apart a local newscaster who was interviewing about their new movie where they play brother and sister?
No, but the movie looks great.
And it was clear from the newscasters talking to him that he hadn't seen the movie, and they called him out on it and started.
Really? Yes. Oh, I want to see this. It's on YouTube, I guess.
It's on YouTube, yeah.
All right, I'm in. I'm all in. They're two of my favorite people. Those guys are great.
They really, really are good. And to have them ripping on you, you know you've made it when Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader are ripping on you.
I hear that movie's great. So everyone should go see it. Cool. Let's see.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck. He's all huge and stuff. And they had to cover that up a lot because they don't want him to look too huge.
Perfect.
Tony Bennett. 88 years old.
Super muscular, and he hides it.
He had to hide his
muscles, ripped physique.
Well, he was Bane, right? Played Bane?
He was Bane.
Your punishment will be more severe. Like that?
Someday. When I'm feeling low.
Chicago. Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett is the oldest artist to have a number one album on Billboard's Top 200.
Wow. He's
88 freaking years old. Mm-hmm. Still singing great, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Still sounds awesome.
I mean, most of us, our voices are shit by the time we're 88, but he's nailing it. His music staples, it's this new duets album with Lady Gaga, which probably, let's be honest.
We've played a duet from the two of them before that I don't think is on this album. I think it was a previous release.
Lady is a Tramp.
That's the one.
And it was an album of duets, but she was just one of them. This one is all her all the time and him, I think. Isn't that the deal? Pretty sure that's the deal.
Really? Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is him and her and everything.
Right. Yes. Correct. Yeah,
the old one was him and other ladies. And she just was one of them. Right? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
it is all Gaga all the time, as opposed to a bunch of different duet people.
Yeah. So anyway, this is all her. It's called Cheek to Cheek. And let's be honest. I mean, part of the reason it's number one is because she's part of this. You know, she draws huge numbers. So Lady Gaga is a big reason. They claimed the number one spot on the Billboard 200, helping him break his own record of being the oldest living artist to top the chart. When Bennett was 85 in 2011, he shattered Bob Dylan's record with his star-studded duets 2 project. Dylan was 67. So Bennett and Dylan going at it.
Wow.
Going to fisticuffs. Woo! All right. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show. Oh, man. Tweaked Audio. 5 styles, 7 great colors, and all the fun you need to put in your ear hole. Do it today. They're compatible with all you got. You got some new fancy new iPhone? Great, no problem. They didn't do some weird lightning connector bullcrap like everyone feared. They just did the standard-ass thing, which is great because then you can get a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds to replace those stock ones, and you're good. Go check them out, tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. When we come back, Wendy will be here for Therapy Thursday. We got a rough one today.
Oh, no, really?
Well, a little bit. I don't know. I don't know where it'll go. We always usually end up on a positive side of the darker bits, but we'll see how that goes. So stay tuned for that. Before all that, Brian has music.
Sure. Raspy wrote in, said, "Dear Stuck in Boise, stuck in Boise. Mm. Another anniversary of her existence, and my sister Anya is still in Boise, Idaho, away from her home here in Colorado. We keep in touch by way of both being caretakers of Fancy, i.e. pet rats. I'm pausing for the inevitable ewes from the tadpole.
Yeah.
Fancy rats are not the disease-ridden vermin Hollywood wants you to believe anything outside of cats/dogs, etc. are. They're sweet little things that keep themselves quite clean and love attention and treats. On that tangent, I want to request, ironically, any version of Ben, the theme song from the 1972 movie of the same name, and the 2004 remake of the prequel Willard. I know Anya will appreciate the irony, and I hope everyone else will too. Yogurt the Drops, though. That's a pet treat, a rat pet rat treat joke.
Mm.
Signed, Raspy.
Got it.
So, Ben, yeah, this was originally sung by Michael Jackson, like a love song to a rat. Great stuff. And I've got a version by the Brady Bunch that I'm going to spare people from, but it's sung by Marsha. Mm. Maureen McCormick singing, wow. Ben.
Yes. What is going on with that?
Wow. It's I listened to a little bit of it this morning. I just can't do that to the poor listeners. So yeah. This is actually this version kicks butt, and this is from a brand new album called Z Avi's Nightlight. Z Avi, this amazing voiced woman who has put out a few albums and done some great covers in the past. Most recent album is like all, lullaby sounding songs, including this one. Mm. This is just fantastic, though. A cover of Michael Jackson's Ben, performed here by Z Avi.
Two of us need look no more. We both found what we were looking for. With a friend to call my own, I'll never be alone. And you, my friend, will see you got a friend in. Running here and there, you feel you're not wanted anywhere. If you ever look behind and don't like what you find, there's something you should know. You've got a place to. Turn you away. I don't listen to a word they say. They don't see you as I do. I wish they would try to. I'm sure they think again if they had a friend like Ben.
That's right. Dad had to defragment the disc, too. I'm not really sure what that is, so you better get an adult to help you with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the Morning Stream. Shut up, baby. I know it.
All right, we're back. Hello.
So it was actually Daryl that distracted me right before the music.
Oh, what was Daryl doing?
Look in Skype. He posted a link to a new article on Forbes.com about cosplay that includes our very own Chinbeard.
Let's see. Whoa. There we go. Continue to cite. Amazing costumes of cosplay. Boom. Origins. Oh, look at Bill.
Mm-hmm. Right there. The first one, too.
Looking good, Bill.
Good job, Bill.
Oh, it's a hell of a shot. Look at him there. Mm-hmm. The badass. Wow. Look at, yeah, this is great. So this is just a big write-up about how cosplay is badass now and everyone loves it?
Yeah, exactly.
Forbes.com. Is he quoted in this at all?
I haven't read it. I just looked at the pretty pictures and got distracted.
That's really cool. Congrats to Bill. He deserves
Sorry about that.
He's a craftsman, dude. There's everything he does is as good as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Talented little booger. All right. It's Therapy Thursday time, and that means we're going to call our friend Wendy. She's not really our friend. She's my sister.
Well, she's my friend.
Well, she's all, you know, I guess she's a friend.
Yeah.
And she's smart.
She's a good friend.
She knows
friend.
Things. I talked to her earlier this week. We did an episode of the therapy show. It was good times there. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Talk about today's interesting question. Comes to us from somebody. We're going to call V, but I want to make it clear it's not Veronica. It's definitely not Veronica. It's somebody else. Okay.
Let's not open up that.
No. Mm-hmm. Wendy, are you there? Hello. I bet she can hear us, but we can't hear her.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Oh, there you are. Now we can hear. Hi there. Hello? Hello? Yep. Hello?
You can't hear me?
No, we can sort of hear you. You're laggy or something. Are you there?
Hello?
Tell me, you're hearing us late or something. Can you hear us now?
Oh, geez. It's like a big delay.
Yeah?
Huge delay, yeah.
That was her saying, yeah.
That was really long.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah. You sound fine, but you're just delayed. Here, I'm going to call
you
back.
Let's disconnect and call back.
Yeah, call me back.
All right. Well, I think now she was starting to hear us on time. That's funny. Okay, let's try it again. This is always a challenge. Monday was easy, though. It was piece of cake. Sounded great. Mm-hmm. No problemos. All right, it's ringing.
Hey,
are you there now?
Yeah.
Oh, now you can. Okay. Yeah, we're good now.
You know, it might be that a kid had 400 games open on my phone.
Could have been.
Wow.
Could have been. Which kid was it?
Ah, Peter.
You know,
he doesn't play any of them. He just opens them all.
No, that is the game for him. That's the game.
Yeah. So I don't even know it half the time, and then I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. To Peter, playing the game is to click everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you on, Wendy. I haven't talked to you since Monday, but the show hasn't since last Thursday. And every Thursday she comes on, she puts on her true therapy pants and, and helps people out from all the way, from Sweden. And, are you ready for today's a little rough. Today's question's a little, a little harsh.
Yeah. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Tuck in, man.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
It's all right. We, sometimes the tough questions are the ones you need to answer. So, here goes. It comes to us from somebody we will just call V, and it goes like this. My wife and I have 5 children. 2 of them were diagnosed with Asperger's. My wife owns 2 businesses. Both she runs from home. I am an IT manager who spends most weekdays on the road. About 3 months ago, we became pregnant with number 6, and as is tradition, no one knows. We believe it is always best to wait around the 16 weeks before breaking the news, since we have been through 2 miscarriages between 7 and 12 weeks. We did this too because Kim was in every other had a miscarriage every other pregnancy. It was weird, but that's I think it's kind of commonish with a lot of women to have that. But anyway. Mm-hmm. It's always good to do that and wait. I've had friends who are like, yeah, we're pregnant, but don't say anything because, you know, we want to wait until things are good.
Or middle of the second trimester or something. I can never remember
however
when
it works. Yeah.
To wait to, yeah.
What to expect when you're expecting. Let's see. This brings us to today. At the 15-week mark, the hospital we use as a geneticist on board, who has also been very informative, it says they have one on board. We actually learned that we are having a boy almost a month before the ultrasound. And would reveal the sex. Then yesterday we received devastating news. There is a chance, albeit low, that the baby has Angelman disease or syndrome. Am I saying it right, Wendy? Angelman? I don't know.
I don't know.
Angelman?
Yeah.
I think it's Angelman.
I think it's Angel.
So it's a neurological disease without any cure. This week we'll be getting a more focused test that will let us know within 99% certainty whether or not the baby has the condition. We've decided that if the baby does not have this condition, we will opt to terminate the pregnancy. If the baby does have the condition, they will opt to terminate the pregnancy. We know in our hearts that we would not be capable of raising this child, nor do we think it would be a life worth living. I never thought there would be a reason to have an abortion, but, and it even pains me now that this is a possible outcome for this pregnancy. I know many people would say any life is better than none at all, and I would have to agree if we never knew until he was born, which is kind of the way it used to be, right? We're getting closer to Gattaca every day, I swear.
I know.
But... He says, I know that I will be fine, and even though it sounds cold-hearted, death does not affect me in the same way as it does others. I was with my father as he passed away, and my heritage and beliefs tell me that it is just a transition to one from one existence to another. However, my wife is nothing like me in this regard. Psychologically, what should I do to prepare myself to help my wife through what I believe will be one of the most difficult times she has ever endured? Thanks for your help. So some of this is hinging, right, on what the 99% test says, obviously. If the test comes back negative, then it's all steam ahead and everyone's going to go the way they want to go. If it comes back positive, it sounds like he's got some resolve here not bring a sixth child. Yeah. Into the world where it's already a challenge to manage the five and then to have this non-curable
thing. Two with Asperger's.
Yeah, two with Asperger's. Yeah. So they obviously have their hands full. So there is a lot of like vitriolic conversation that could happen on both sides of this issue if people want to get super armchair political about it. But right. I think we zero down into this thing that could potentially be the most, you know, the most devastating and divisive thing in the history of their marriage if it does come down to this. So where do you even start?
Well, I think, you know, they've got to get on the same page. I happen to have had clients in the past who they had a baby born with, or not born, but some sort of like the skull was exposed. You maybe have heard of this before. Mm. You know, the brain's exposed. So at birth, it would die within a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pretty significant thing. And he happened to be a doctor. So for him, it was very clinical. You know, it was like not viable. So we should abort, you know. Why continue this when we know what is going to come, you know? Right. And for her, 20 something years later, still sort of in pain about it. And part of that was that she didn't feel like she made the decision. Mm. So I think it's really crucial that he, at the risk of sounding sexist in the other direction, needs to realize he's the dude. I know he's the father, and you know, how overwhelming obviously this would be to know that. Mm-hmm. He needs to recognize his most important person in this equation is his wife. And if she comes to his way of thinking and he feels good about that, great. You know, that's the hope. Or they get the test back and nothing's wrong, and then, you know, they go forward. I read a little bit about the syndrome, and you know, it ranges from really severe to, you know, fairly mild. Right. And so that's tricky. Like, how do you?
So the test, because the test isn't going to tell them how severe or how mild, right?
No,
just the certainty as to whether they have the basic thing or not.
But what I'm interested in is, and you know, I stopped having this blood test after the first time I had a child, because for me, it wasn't, the false positives are so high. I'm not sure it's the same test. Actually, it might not be, but
right.
It's the test that, it's like a triple thing and it tests for Down syndrome and some other things. Mm-hmm. And so they do the initial test, and then if it's a false positive, then they do some further testing and it, you know, none of it's 100%, but maybe they're getting better and better at it. I just know for a lot of people, it was so stressful to have that initial test. Unless they're, you know, sort of ready to abort, if it is whatever, and they don't want to go there. For those who are not so sure that that's the route they would take, they just, I know a lot of people who just stopped, you know, saying yes to taking that test. So I don't know if it's the same one. It potentially is. And the false positives are so high with those tests. So, you know, cross your fingers, there's still a chance. But it does seem maybe a little bit related. It has a lot of autistic features, so that's kind of interesting.
Mm. Oh, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just, I've got the page up now. And kind of like, oh, there's Peter. Oh.
Yeah, Pete thought he'd come and chase me down. I'll tell you who's not a good babysitter, a 9-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A 9-year-old boy.
I never had any luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you'd rather do?
As responsible as Taylor always was, she wasn't even it's their siblings. They can't do it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and what he's doing instead, of course, he's trying to get Pete to watch. Please tell me you've not watched this. It's someone else playing Minecraft.
Oh, dude, that's the whole internet
like
is that
or something?
Now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I swear the guys are Canadian and I can't stand it. I'm like, shut up with the Canadian Minecraft.
Hey, Canadians. What do you think of that?
I'm just kidding.
No, there. Yeah. Trust me. Nick is ridiculously into the thing you just described. He's way into that.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge.
No, it's normal.
It's this huge sub. Not subculture, but it's a very popular thing right now is to watch other people play Minecraft. Anyway. Or other games. Wow. It's not just Minecraft, but there is a huge multi-billion-dollar business surrounding people watching other people play video games. I know that sounds crazy, but it totally, mm-hmm. totally exists. And there's some of it makes sense. But anyway, back to this guy. So is it possible though to cut through this if he's got a very different feeling about this than she does? I mean, is it even possible to come to some sort of resolution?
Oh, yeah, no, I think so. I think one. Pete, shut it. What?
They mean.
Were they mean to you?
Mean.
Oh, they were mean to you. Okay. And I made it better by telling them to shut it.
Yeah, shut it, boy.
Just stay here. You want to say hi to Uncle Scott?
Hey,
say
buddy.
Hi, Uncle Scott.
Hey, buddy. Hey, what's going on?
Good.
He's learned already. Just say good.
Just say good. I miss him. Anyway.
Go chase them and tell them they're bad boys. This is a thing in our house. If you do anything naughty, you get called a bad boy, even if you're a girl.
Wow. All right. Take that, Allie. Anyway.
I it's not my idea. Yeah.
Right.
It's the boys. Okay. So, okay. Back. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello? You're good. You hear us?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to... Maybe the best way we can help this guy is to help reframe the question a little bit.
Okay.
Right now for him, the question is, do we abort the pregnancy? Do we, you know, make the decision not to? And then suddenly we have a huge financial burden, a physical, emotional, psychological potential burden with the sixth child. I mean, there's three other kids, neurotypical kids, who are probably already not getting all the attention they might need, right? Because the other two might be taking more. So, I mean, it's a real legitimate concern. But so the question right now is, do we do it or do we not? And he's already to the resolution stage, right? Like his beliefs and probably his wallet and everything is saying, it's cool. We can, it's okay if we end this.
If it goes this way, it's okay. Yeah.
Right.
And it sounds like they both agree that's the direction.
Well, no, she's opposed to this. He's that's his whole point in that email. Is that
I understood that they've agreed that that's what's going to happen, but that she's going to deal worse with the repercussions of it.
Well, did they say that? I know
from the last paragraph. The third paragraph says that we've decided that if the baby does have this condition, we'll opt to terminate the pregnancy.
You're totally right. Yep, you're totally right. So they have made this decision. You're right. So it's the aftermath he's concerned about. That's
right. Exactly.
I read it wrong.
Psychologically, how can he prepare himself to help his wife through?
That makes sense.
Oh my gosh. What would we do without Brian?
Yeah, right? Jeez. Thanks for actually reading the email
totally
that I read. Damn. But yeah, well, that's interesting then, because then she's at least on board with the decision, or does some of his email indicate that she's very tentatively on board and that she's really got her fingers crossed on that 99 cents or 99 cents, 99%?
Right.
Right. I think my other client's experience still applies fairly well here, which is she has to come to this decision, feel good about it. That is actually. Can be preventative problems down the road. Step one is that she's involved in this decision. She feels good about it, that it is not you convincing her. It doesn't mean you can't talk and communicate and persuade a little bit, but she really needs to feel some ownership of that in order for the grieving process maybe not to get stunted, because I think that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because if she's not on board 100% with this big, giant, crazy decision, you know, because it's a big one, I don't know that you can move forward until you do have resolution on that. And if the resolution is, well, no, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but what I really feel is I want this baby to come no matter what, even if it has this disease. And if that's the case, well, now we've got a real, now you got a big division. And it's with a ticking clock, you know, it's a bad space.
Right. And he's obviously sensing that she's not in the same place as him, or he wouldn't have written this email.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, this is not about convincing her to your side. It's about allowing her active grieving time and process. So, you know, everyone deals with everything differently, right? Same family. This is why there's such a high divorce rate of couples who've lost a child. You know, there's obviously great stress and pain and tension, but, you know, a description of why often that occurs is everyone grieves so differently at different times. So hard to communicate during that when you're both in so much pain.
Plus, aren't you both constant reminders to the other of a terrible thing? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you are the one half of the thing that created the child who we lost. And now forever, you are a reminder of the thing we lost.
Right.
I don't know how people get past that. That just seems
right.
So hard.
And many don't. Many don't. And I think what you end up needing to do in their case specifically is to create, first of all, to really be honest about where everyone is. Because if she's ambivalent and he's like, yep, we're doing this, we made this decision, it's going to backfire on him. Because even if she makes the full decision, she's going to have hormonal letdown, crazy, whatever, probably be depressed. I mean, there's going to be a lot of potential ramifications from this that you don't want her thinking, this wasn't my decision. And I was forced into it. So that's step one. Step two is to create some, if the test comes back and it's positive and this child has this disease, you know, and you choose to abort, to create some type of, I don't know, memorial or a ritual, something that honors that life and that, you know, gives some meaning or gives some, I don't know, context. You don't necessarily have to have a funeral, but that's really the point of a funeral, right? The funeral is some closure or some tangible way to grieve. And if you don't have that, you need to come up with an intangible way to grieve or make something tangible to grieve, because it's sad and it's hard and it's all of those things. And sometimes, especially with a terminated pregnancy of any type, it's you're pregnant one day and then you're not, you know, whether it's a miscarriage or something else. And you are still hormonal and you're still fat and you're still, I mean, you have all sorts of things going on that make you, you know, still feel very pregnant or emotional or, you know, and that loss is just even greater. And that's where a guy can't ever understand 5 seconds what it's like to be pregnant, because it sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so for him to just be very sensitive that this is, you know, sorry, Pete brought me a package of peppers. He's going to eat one now.
Oh,
is it a package?
Oh my gosh.
What kind of peppers are they?
Like bell peppers.
Oh,
he just eats them like apples.
Really?
He's a freak.
That is weird, really? Dude. That's really a weird thing for a kid to be into.
Yeah, I will send you a picture.
You know what? It's funny because Peter clawed into this world with stuff that if it would have been him in the 1800s, we would not have Peter with us.
Yeah.
But because he got, it's like, what's it like? It's like that those Final Destination movies. Because the guy in that movie thwarted death from the roller coaster, then it's just crazy for the rest of his life. So like in the case of Peter, it's like, I'm going to eat peppers all day and I'm going to say words that no one can understand forever. Or I'm going to be, he's just like this little crazy person. I love it. It's my favorite thing.
He kind of is.
So great. It's like my intestines were on the outside. Therefore, I'm going to be really interesting my entire life.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
Back to the much more sad.
Yeah, we keep this. The seesaw is awesome.
Keep wanting
anyway.
To veer off.
Yeah.
We can't help it. It's just so depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say one other thing is, you know, you do some, you know, say they choose to abort. You do. What is the word?
three things: preparation, you know, you kind of can just assume this is not going to be easy and put a lot of things in place, yeah. A lot of support, mm-hmm. a lot of family. You teach other people how to talk to you about it. Cause you know what? No one knows how to talk to you about this.
Nope.
No one.
Nope.
And they're going to do it wrong and they're going to be clumsy. So you know what? Just send an email out to everyone and say, hey, we want you to talk about it. We want you to, you know, we've named the baby Jim and we want you to mention him and, you know, this is our experience. Or if you want none of that, then let people know as well. So really, dad is the guardian yeah. a little bit of sort of the emotional vulnerability that mom and the physical and, you know, all of that at this point. That really can be a role he serves.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful.
Well, again, because he's not the guy. He's not the guy carrying the child, having the thing, whatever. Like what I want people to understand from what we're saying here, and I agree with you 100%. Is that this is kind of the point of the team. This is part of the teamwork of a marriage and of a right. parenthood that doesn't, you need to, people need to take away all their agendas about sexism or who wears the pants of the family or all that stuff. Because in the end, this is a very, she is playing a very specific role by being the carrier of this child right. and the great decider of what she does with her body. And he needs to play the role of the guy who doesn't necessarily completely 100% understand what that's even like, but he can be the ultimate support during that time. I mean, he has a very specific role to play. And I just think it's important people peel back all those layers of political correctness they want to have about this sort of thing and look right. at it for what it is. That guy, the guy needs to be that guy and she needs to be whatever she needs to be. And that's okay that those roles are different. And equally important. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And he could really screw things up if he is not sensitive to that, you know? Because, of course, he's got his, you know, his heart involved and his wallet and the other kids. And, I mean, he's thinking a lot more rationally. Chemically, he has the ability to be way more rational than she does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's got to just be very sensitive and let her have whatever process that she needs to have. I had a weird experience last week. A friend of mine here miscarried and needed a ride to the hospital. Her husband is in America, awesomely, just weird. Happens to be. And, you know, it's always timed like that, right? Yeah. So he couldn't get back. So I drove her to the hospital and, you know, I sat there with her and we talked to the nurses and doctors with her and decided what to do and how to, you know, get her the care that she needed or whatever. And I mean, I've had 5 miscarriages. You'd think I'd know the right things to say, right? And I'm a therapist. Hello. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of was like, dang, everyone's so different what they need to hear. And I have no idea what she needs to hear. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I don't know her all that well. And she was having a really hard time and I had different perspectives and different things I thought about. And so the truth is none of us are good at this usually, right? Even if in qualification, you couldn't have found someone better, right? I've had 5. Mm-hmm. I've had the doctor procedures.
You had a mom with 9.
I had a mom with 9.
9 miscarriages.
I'm ideal here.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I also just, you know, I maybe see it differently. It feels so long ago. And so the only thing I do know is that I couldn't say the right thing besides I'm so sorry. And then just act, you know, drive her to the hospital, take her home, right. get her dinner, whatever, you know.
Right. Core support stuff, like stuff that you just, it's survival base yeah. core things.
Words don't mean squat. Yeah. But, you know, you can also shove your foot really far in your mouth. So the best thing to do is to kind of be silent.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe is good advice for him to let her lead a little bit with the discussions. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, kind of, and who knows how they're handling it, you know. But really, it's just imperative that she feel power because it is the most powerless experience.
Yeah, you've got this thing. I can't even imagine. I mean, how far along did they say they were? They were pretty far along.
15 weeks, so yeah. 4 months.
Oh, okay.
That's a long time.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's about that time they do that one blood test. I'm wondering if that's what it is.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people I've known who got a positive back. Prepared to have a Down syndrome baby born totally normal.
Hmm.
So I have a hard time with those blood tests because if it's not 2050, by then we will have better blood tests.
But will you? Okay, so here's a larger philosophical question about that. We did just watch the Gattaca on Film Sack, so it's kind of on our minds. But
yeah,
how do you feel about a potential future without getting too apocalyptic about this, but where the science gets better and better and we're able to do genetic testing that literally tells you everything that's wrong. The kid's going to have a heart attack when he's 50, you know, like could really be that picky about who you are and how you're being born.
Basically the Gattaca.
So does it mean, I mean, what does that mean? That seems like a weird thing for society to deal with, because does that mean everybody has a kid and because they know that the kid's going to have cancer at 30, they're just going to be totally different about that kid. I'm not saying abortions are going to go through the roof or anything. Maybe we'll have an accompanying technology that cures these things ahead of time, fixes the genetic code before the birth. I mean, maybe there's a complementary sort of technological growth.
That
is
my
know.
Answer.
Yeah.
that's what I hope.
That'd be
nice.
Well,
I think the other thing is, I mean, you've seen a few very obsessive parents who are like, okay, if we have conceive on the third Thursday under a full moon, the child will have blue eyes or we'll get a boy, or, you know, I think the inclination is pretty deep for some folks of like, I want a perfect child. I hear this a lot. I've never related to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why, but when people say, oh, the baby's born and he's perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, what? Yeah. Like you counted the toes and the fingers and okay. Like just that whole concept's really important and it's repeated a lot.
Mm.
And maybe because I've had two pretty imperfect children, I don't know. But when the other two were born, I didn't go, they're perfect. Because all I can think of is they're not perfect and they're going to do terrible things in their lives. And
right.
Like, who am I kidding? But there is a bit of an obsession there. You know me, I don't look at car accidents. So I can't really look in the future and see because I think there would be a commiserate level of science that also was sort of preventative on one level, right?
Yeah.
Surgery in utero or whatever. Yeah. But then it's also maybe we're all test tube kids at that point. I don't know.
Sure.
Then because there is some value. I mean, I'm in Sweden, right? And I'll tell you, I've been here, 2 months? And I have seen more mentally challenged people than I have in years in America.
Really?
Years.
What's
and there's
about?
A reason.
What's that?
Their main value here is not individualism, it's collectivism, right? So it's what's good for the community. And so those people are part of the community and they believe regular ed, that's what I was gonna call them, regular ed kids, people.
My favorite best friend in high school, his name was Regular Ed. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that they exposure to everybody is, you know, it's just part of being a community, right? Mm-hmm. And so the schools are integrated that way and, you know, obviously special services for those who need it. And but a lot of interaction and it's just interesting because it's not something I thought a lot about. And then I got here and I realized, oh yeah, they go to the store and I don't know where all the disabled people are in Salt Lake. You know, I think they're in buildings and schools and it's just not as common for them to be out and about.
Just to be out at a Walmart randomly or something. Like
right.
That. Yeah.
But there is a reduction obviously because of testing and abortion with Down syndrome kids. And if you've known one, well, you cannot have two peppers, dude. We are going to have an explosion.
Yeah.
Filling
his shoes moment. Yeah. You don't want that.
In the
that kid.
Cemetery.
Yeah.
Care. Anyway, so it's interesting how like the value of difference, right? So she's famous. Temple Grandin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what difference has she made in the world?
Sure.
And she would be definitely not. She would have been aborted if there was some test to say, oh, she's going to have severe
autism. Especially in the era that she was born in, if those tests could have been done, the stigma was real thick. I feel like that stuff's changing. I think it's slow, but I think it's changing.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, the honest reality is no one gets what it's like to be a parent to a child that's so challenged, right?
They don't get it.
So all of us can go, oh, well, I mean, we need diversity in the population with kids, but, you know, how difficult. And so I think, you know, parents are pretty motivated to want to know these things and they probably will only be more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Temple Grandin, by the way, there's an HBO film about her life with Claire Danes.
Won a bunch of awards. Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's so worth watching.
Oh,
anybody out there, I absolutely recommend it. And here's the best part. Even if you're adverse to HBO's content standards, There's not a single boob or a single F-bomb in the entire thing.
Yeah, that would seem very inappropriate.
Yeah, and it also seems very, it's very odd for HBO, though, you got to admit. But they don't have any, there is nothing there like
there's
that.
There's not a single boob.
I don't know why I haven't done this, but I want my kids to watch it. It's really, really good. Really well done.
Yeah, I mean, she's described, you know, she would do all of those behaviors to just calm the noise that was in her head. It mm-hmm. brought order to her world, mm-hmm. which is why she could understand animals mm-hmm. And feel what they felt, and you know, I mean, it's just incredible. Okay, so there's all that. I don't know your question, but I have a story I gotta tell you.
All right,
so a good friend of mine got pregnant later. She was like 41.
Okay.
And also a sixth child, and she was one of those ultrasound techs, super smart nurses.
Yeah.
At some point, so when she saw the ultrasound, she knew something was wrong, even though the tech didn't say anything.
Oh, really? Weird. That must have been a weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two versions of having your guts on the outside of your body. There's the good one that Pete had, and then the very serious one. It's called infalocele, and it comes with other things like the brain fully doesn't develop, and then the guts are on the outside in a sac. It's like trisomy 17 or something like that that goes along with that. Anyway, so that's what this baby has.
Mm.
It will die after birth or sometime in utero. Who knows? Anyway, so she gets, I think, to 24 weeks or something, and then the baby dies.
Yeah.
So they decide to plant a tree in the yard to honor it, honor him. I think his name is, I don't know what his name was, Jimmy. I say everyone's name is Jimmy. That's so
I do that, too. I don't know why Jimmy, and you and I have never conferred on this. We just do
that's
it.
That's both of your go-to.
Johnson thing. Yeah, I was like, hey, Jimmy over there, like that. I'll always
I had
say
a
that.
Neighbor, and she could never name her kids until they were born, and so she'd call him Jimmy Taco. So my full name is Jimmy Taco.
So you don't go to the McGillicuddy well, though.
No, I'm big on McGillicuddy. I do that all the time.
Yeah, but. So mine's Jimmy Taco. Yeah. Anyway, so they plant a tree. And it's a peach tree. And the first year, you know, they kind of have a little family prayer around the tree and just sort of like honor him and, you know, are sad and did what I sort of said before, like create some way to remember. And the first year, this tree produces a peach, one peach on the whole tree. And the seed is on the outside of the peach.
Oh, no way.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's crazy. And so they and this is how healthy these people are, right? They showed all their friends, like, can you believe this? and then they dug the tree up, bare, you know, got rid of it, haha, and then planted another one and said that's the original, you know, just to be funny.
Sure, of course.
You know, because they could see the craziness about it and you know. But they were finding ways to process the grief as they go, which I think is my main point.
Yeah.
Is whether you keep the baby, because you know, if that baby's born and has these problems and you guys keep that baby, you have grief to go through then, because you're grieving the normal life of a healthy child.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of grief going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way there is, right? Like, I don't that's a problem with this particular situation, is it's not, there is no happy ending on either side of this thing.
Right.
No, at least not a happy. What I mean by that is there's no like quick advice that will make them go, oh, okay, well, all solved, all fixed. Everyone smiles and giggles now about this issue. It's not going to go that way, but it can go the way of incredible support and backing each other up and being in this together and finding that commonality to your parenthood that'll take you through whichever direction you go.
Right.
And even that will be fraught with occasional, you know, holes and stuff, but I think they can get it. I think
right. And I think you've got to sort of preempt the problems that are going to come from being divided right away. You know, you got to come together. That's just the reality. Often it forces you to in these circumstances, but this is a decision. This isn't the baby's born and now we got to pull together. This is, you're deciding what, you know, that next step is, and do your best to get on the same page and make sure she feels like she has a voice and she's valid, because she's the one who's going to have a roller coaster more than you will.
Yeah, I agree. I got a thing to tell you. You should be proud of me for.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with this question, but we would like to hear how things go. So keep us informed.
Yeah, for sure.
I did a thing the other day that I would have normally gone one way, but thought of you and changed my mind.
Oh boy.
So here you go.
So you're to blame for the success or failure.
No, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. So I somebody had sent me a link to the actual footage of that poor reporter that got beheaded by ISIS in the Middle East. It was supposed to be this, oh, here's the real raw footage, uncut, whatever. I don't know why they sent it to me. I have weird fans sometimes. And I had a inkling to go, I want to be truly outraged here. Let's see how outraged this makes me. And I then went, like, Wendy was in the back of my head, like a little weird thing on my shoulder going, you're just going to have a miserable day and a miserable month, and you'll never get it out of your head. And why, you already know it's outrageous and terrible. Why do you need to see it in, you know, color?
Right.
And I ended up I killed the email and didn't watch it.
Good.
So it was total windy. Yeah, total windy moment there. Because my inclination normally is I'm a rubberneck train wreck watcher.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't help it. Like a lot of people.
I think a lot of people are. And I think a lot of people use the excuse, well, I need to be truly informed.
Yeah, which is kind of not.
Is seeing someone's head cut off informing you?
Yeah.
Like, are you a better person after that?
No.
Is not knowing enough?
Just makes me feel bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're going to do something about it, awesome. Then watch it. But you're probably not.
No, I'm just going to sleep badly. I'll feel powerless to do anything about it.
You won't be able to get it out of your head. You won't be able to unsee it.
Yeah, I can't take it out. It's like, you know, if I saw Ernest Borgnine naked, same thing. I don't want to see that. So don't send me any of your Borgnine nudie
photos.
Got
$50.
Do you remember Ed Asner back hair images? I just have those images of like... shave that, or I don't know why that reminded me of that.
That's really funny. What's that from? What would he have been in? Where he
had Asner back hair.
Back hair. I kind of have a memory of him in like a. I don't like the term wife beater, but like, you know, a tank top white kind of thing with a lot of tufty hair coming out of it.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my head. I must have seen it at some point.
That's really weird.
But wait, let me say this: with the beheading, like, think about when you heard it.
Yeah.
What you thought.
Yeah.
And that sadness or, oh my gosh, who are these people?
That shock,
like,
or that, whatever,
the weight of that is actually what matters. You enter another realm when you're watching real life horror.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't serve a lot of people. Maybe it might serve somebody, but mainly it's revenge is what that serves, you know?
Sure.
But
maybe some really scientific point of view, you could serve some forensic end or something, you know, where they're trying to solve, actually find out who did it or confirm the realness of it, or, you know, there's things there, I suppose. But I just there's no way I could see something like that and have a clinical view of it. It doesn't work that way for me. And I can watch Freddy freaking kill 50 people in a dumb Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and he can behead all of them, and it doesn't even bother me. But the real thing, you know,
The real thing. Yeah. A victim, a dad, somebody who you could live next door to. I mean, it just becomes so much more real.
And I'm not going to, I mean, not that I don't need, I can still feel those feelings like, oh, that guy was, you know, he was awesome and he was this or he's that. But I don't need to see him killed. I just don't need to see it.
Right.
There's just something about that. I don't want to go there. So
and
anyway.
Eventually you'll move to a place where you won't even hesitate. It'll just be like, no,
I'm
not doing it.
Yeah. Not interested. Even just a straight up train wreck with nobody hurt in it. I don't have to look at those anymore.
All right.
You know what I mean? I do like a good train wreck. all right. Well, Wendy, it's always fun. Don't forget, there's a lot more Wendy to be had. If you go over to frogpants.com/therapy, the entire run of the first season of The Therapy Show up to episode 9 is there. We've got 3 more on this season to get to 12. And the last one we did was on in-laws. So really good stuff for in-laws in there. And unless you're an in-law who takes offense at it. So.
Could be people in your family who don't want you to listen to that episode.
Yep.
Yeah, please let me list 5 people who are never allowed to download that episode.
Right. We have very specific names. All right, well, have fun. Enjoy whatever comes of those peppers. And we'll talk to you next time, Wendy.
Okay. All right,
bye now.
Guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Busy mom. Ooh,
that was there. Heavy.
Whoops. I called her back and I didn't mean to. There we go. All right. Heavy stuff.
Yeah. Is there a sponsor we can do between now and Cleo?
Sure, why not? How about we eat fresh at HelloFresh.com?
Yum.
HelloFresh.com, everybody. Go to HelloFresh.com right now. Check out a fantastic recipe. Have them send it directly to your door. And if you live in these United States, or as I've been fond of saying the last few days, these States United.
These United States.
No, it's these States United. That's, I guess.
Oh, these States United.
Yeah, like, I want to be some like powdered wig freaking founding father when I say that. I love it. You can get it now. They deliver everywhere in the U.S. and elsewhere. If you check it out and want to save some money on your first order, well, we've got a code for you. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for first-time customers. That's 50% off. That's half off, folks. Go do it now at HelloFresh.com. All right, we're going to call Cleo.
Okay.
And she will tell us.
She will tell us all about Ed Asner back hair.
Yes, because she's, if anyone knows, she does. Hold on. I'm going to find, why can't I find her? What's going on? What's happening? I was on the, I don't think it's up yet, but I was on with her and Nicole for Nerd Parents yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You talked about that. That's very cool.
It was lovely. You've been on there, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. Tina and I were on there. It's a good time. Be on there again at some point.
Good deal. All right. Cleo, are you there?
Always.
Fabulous.
How are you?
Fabulous. I haven't talked to you since yesterday.
I know, right?
Weird.
I don't know how you got through the night.
I don't either. I learned a fascinating thing about Carrie's dabbling in the acting profession in the past, and that was very exciting to me. That was really cool.
I'm going to have to listen to that episode. That sounds very fascinating.
Yeah, there's a little teaser for everybody.
Nice.
A little bit.
Yeah. When's that going up? Like next week or something? I don't know how she does those.
I think so. I think it's going up next week. Yep.
These people with their put your podcast up a week later. So I don't know how. I couldn't do it. I got to bam, bam, bam. Put it out. Put it out. You know? It's like a.
I understand what you're saying.
Like a hooker with good services. I got to put them out there.
Oh, my.
Well, you know.
And now for a mother with children.
And now with a mother with children. All right. So Carrie comes on the show. She does this Thursdays, and she does what we used to call the tallywhacket, which just means she. It means other things, so we quit you saying that. But she comes on here and she tells us funny stuff that the chat pool, the chat room says occasionally, or things we've said, or whatever, and we like it. So, Carrie, take it away.
Sure. First of all, please, that emailer that just called in for Wendy, I have many feelings about the entire thing that you just read.
Yeah.
So, let them have my contact info if they want to talk, because I've been on both sides of it.
All right. I will do.
Okay. Now I can stop being responsible and turn into an idiot.
Yay!
All right.
Woo!
Let's see what we got here. Thorin wants you to know from your new soundboard that Chat Lines is his least favorite Robin Thicke song.
Chat Lines.
I know you want it. It's on the Cybernet.
Oh, my gosh.
On Chat Lines.
Yep. That's the guy.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. When we were reading from that audio clip that says, will the president send you an email? That whole bit.
Yeah.
Chimera said that the only way you'll know if you got a presidential email from Bill Clinton is that the email address will be presidentbillygoofygoofy420@whitehouse.gov.
That's the one.
Want to write a letter to President Clinton?
No, I don't. Anyway.
Not.
Good one.
From the story where marijuana was in a candy that 16-year-old handed out at school, Thorin let us know that the tainted lollipop was his wrestling finishing move.
I don't want to know that one, dude.
That's the visual on that
God,
is just
he's
awful.
Giving him the tainted lollipop. This match is over.
It was over before it started, if that comes out. Ooh.
Yes.
All right.
When we were talking about the sad story of Malcolm Young having dementia, TV's Egon said, synchronized menses is the new worst sport at the 2016 Summer Olympics.
Yep.
Nobody not fun at all.
Won't get a lot of attendance.
No, not a lot of that. And this week's winner is Irony Man, of course. Today, from the drunk racist in the airplane, I offer you this very gently edited version of Irony Man's comments.
All right.
I haven't seen a bitch that high in the air since I took my dog skydiving.
Oh, man. Jeez. Irony Man pulling out the stops.
Edited.
Yeah, was it? Oh, you saw the original?
I saw the original. Yes,
I saw it and went. And then I couldn't do it anymore. Cleo, it's always fun, always a pleasure. I hope things are going well on your end of the world, and let's do this again next week, okay?
I'll be there.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. That same guy, by the way. I don't think I've played this one. Here, listen to this. Yeah, here we go.
Yes.
That's him also.
Wow.
Yes.
It's also this one.
Speak.
That's him there.
Really? He's all about the grunts and groans and noises and...
This one too, I think.
Please don't hit me. Oh,
that's that whole clip.
So you can't lose me, okay?
Okay. All right. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. That's it. We're done. Let's get out.
Okay.
We got a new show tonight, TMSPM, brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. If you support us there, we do all kinds of cool new things, and one of them was we unlocked quite a while ago a fifth episode of the show, and it happens on Thursday evenings at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. So be here at frogpants.com/live, and you can watch us do that. We usually put the episode up either right after or next day. It kind of depends on how big the Thursday Wendy episode was, so probably put it up Friday morning. But if you're there live, you get it today.
Oh, and big thanks to Tiny Brian. So you and I are still working on the Frog Pants Trivia Show.
Sure.
Which will probably be called the Frog Pants Trivia Show.
I love it.
And that's another potentially unlockable Patreon reward. But we are going to do a kind of a sample episode just to kind of...
Like a pilot, you know, like a beta.
Right, exactly. To see if it's something that you guys would like and it's something that we could do. And we are looking at still doing that sometime, I think, in October. But I don't know. Time is probably filling up for you.
Yeah, we haven't talked about times or dates, but we will figure that out.
We'll be announcing a date on that very soon. So people who want to be a contestant and actually win valuable prizes, there will be prizes, can register and be ready for it.
The only hard part, so I was thinking, some of this we could do off air, but I was thinking one of the hard parts about this is often we'll want to involve other Frog Pants, you know, notables, like, you know, bring Veronica or Tom or somebody.
Well,
and they're all going to be always willing to do these things. But that's always a challenge to schedule and make sure people can do it. And you don't want to tax their schedules too much for a thing that's just, you know, kind of a thing to do. So that's why I think you guys are going to be instrumental out there as contestants. And I mean, you're going to be a huge part of this is what I'm getting
at. Well, I mean, and the good news is that with such a stable of great talent, the Frog Pants All-Stars talent, we can say, here's the date. Who's available? Right. And send an email out to the whole gang and say, who can be here for this? And we'll know ahead of time. So,
Should be fun. I'm looking forward to this idea a lot. All right. Well, I think that's it. Later today, a new Boop show as well. So watch for that. Team SPM. Boop. And what else? Oh, and on that Boop episode, big thoughts on Shadow of Mordor, which I am absolutely freaking loving. And I'll get into the nitty gritties as to why and why I think that may be game of the year.
I can't wait to hear more about that because I'm, you know, I know very little about it. I've been so entrenched in Destiny and Disney Infinity that I have not been paying attention to the Shadows of Mordor.
It's really cool. So. It's really cool. So, I'll get into that deep and hard. Ooh, what? All right. There's a new episode of The Instance tomorrow and new Current Geek. There's just a lot of stuff going on. Oh, and Brian will be on Current Geek tomorrow afternoon.
So I will. I can't wait.
The two Brians, him and Brian Dunaway.
That's right. It's going to be like, basically, it's going to be an episode of Film Sack with Tom Merritt playing the part of Randy Jordan.
Ah, we should watch 2012 with him or something.
We should,
We promised all that time ago. Anyway, there's that. Look forward to all of that. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Send your feedback there. And on Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Let's do some music. What do you got?
Okay, well, this is going out to Ulrich. Hello, Schnitzel and Bratwurst. Mm. Maybe you guessed it. I am one of the Germans.
Yeah.
On October 3rd, we celebrate the Day of German Unity, Tag der Deutschen Einheit. 25-ish years ago, German brothers and sisters were peacefully reunited. Hmm. Just 25 years ago? Wow.
That we all feels know, like longer and shorter, doesn't it? That seems it like does. It was forever ago, but
like
also
the wall
yesterday.
Came down much longer ago, but I guess when you think about all the bands that played on the wall, you know, and all that stuff, I guess it's like, hey, I guess.
Crazy.
Was 25 years ago-ish. Yeah. We all know David Hasselhoff sang Down the Wall. Sang Down the Wall. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. He is singing Brought Down the Wall.
Got it.
My guess is it would be fitting to play a funny cover of Looking for Freedom around that day, time zones and stuff. But anything funny and cheerful would be fitting. Hoff the show, though. Uli.
I like when they include their request somehow in the love the show, though,
in the closing. Absolutely. So
bonus points.
So how about a cover by David Hasselhoff that is not that song for freedom, because I didn't have that one. But what I do have, in 2004, he released an entire album called David Hasselhoff Sings America. And boy, does he. Covers of Neil Diamond and the band America and Frank Sinatra. And this one by Madonna, which I don't know why it has anything to do with America. Why it was on an album called David Hasselhoff Sings America. Mm. But for me, this is the top track from the album. Mm. David Hasselhoff channeling his inner Madonna, his inner material girl, and singing a version of La Isla Bonita.
Ah, a favorite of mine. Because the video featured Danny Aiello as her dad.
Really? On that one?
I think so. Isn't that the... Oh, no, that's Father Don't Preach. Papa Don't Preach. You're right.
Yeah.
What, Isla Bonita.
It's just her twirling around in a Latina dress or something.
Oh, right. But wasn't Antonio Banderas in that or something?
It might have been.
Yeah, it's a weird time. Let's forget it happened. Here you go. That's that song. We'll be back tonight. See you at 5:30, everybody, and back Monday with a brand new week of shows. We'll see you then. Come on, puede.
Last night I dreamt of San Pedro, just like I'd never gone. I knew the song, young girl with eyes like the desert. It all seems like yesterday, not far away. Tropical, the island breeze, all of nature wild and free. This is where I long to be, La Isla Bonita. Set so high, ring through my ears and sing my eyes your Spanish lullaby. I fell in love with San Pedro. Warm wind carried on the sea, she called to me, te dio, te amo. They went so fast. Tropical, the island breeze, all of nature wild and free. This is where I long to be, La Isla Bonita. And when the summer played, the sun would set so high, ring through my ears and sing my eyes your Spanish lullaby.
Then I will have to take the gun.